Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
So this, the person that I want to introduce to you has preaches to widows in their distress in Kenya in an extremely powerful way. In fact, for the people that come on mission trips with Center Will, I actually find this to be possibly the most meaningful part of the whole mission trip. And so we're so grateful that Catherine has been away from her family. It will be over 3 weeks. She's a mother of three and a wife. And so I want to introduce to you Catherine Inkatha, the director of our widow program.
And it is a blessing to be here. My name is Catherine Inkatha. They are getting it right. Well, I have to train Pastor Aaron to do it. I am grateful this morning to be here. I thank the Lord for such an awesome opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. Of all other places we would have been this morning, we are in the house of our Father. And that's a good thing. So I want to thank the pastors in the house, Pastor Aaron and the team. I really appreciate this opportunity. I also want to thank David and Sarah for their yes to God. They said yes to God, and we have 180 widows that are directly impacted by that. They said yes to God, and 72 orphans have homes now. They said yes to God, and we have like 22 members of staff that have a job in the facility. They said yes to God, and God continues to grow it. I think I was talking to David yesterday, and I have talked to him about this so many times, and I've told him that God brought me to Center Will so that he can teach me this life lesson of what happens when we obey God. What happens when we say yes to God? I would have never in my wildest imaginations thought that a day like today I would be here so many miles away from home preaching about God. And it all begins with one step of obedience. What if the destinies of your children, of your grandchildren, of your great-grandchildren is tied directly to you saying yes to God? What if your destiny and the realization of all your wildest dreams and imagination is just tied to just sitting down and hearing God and aligning your will to His command? What if all that we are seeking in this life is just right there in obedience? So this morning, I am going to speak about obedience to God. You know, when God interrupts our plans or your plan. I was reading from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all, not some, not one or two, but all His commands I give you today. So that means we need to know what He has given us. We need to understand all His commands. So if you follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You know, obedience to God, if I may define it, I mean, we know obedience. We've heard, we have used the term, we have expected people to be obedient, and we have been expected to be obedient. But this morning I will just define it in the context of what we are handling today, obedience. Obedience to God is the act of hearing God's voice and then aligning our will to his command. It's just hearing and then aligning our will to God's command. So there is the hearing God and there is the aligning our will. So God, when he created man in his own image and likeness, he gave him one special thing. He gave him the will. The will to choose right from wrong. The will to decide whether to worship him or not. The will to follow the right path or the wrong path. So pretty much what God did, he gave us choices. And you and me, every day we have a choice to obey him or to disobey him. And each of these choices has a consequence. And so many times we just act in the moment, but we fail to put into account the consequence of what we have chosen. Every day God gives us an opportunity. Every day he wakes us up and he gives us an opportunity to choose. And he really, like any other parent, hopes that we will choose the right thing. And that is what gives us. That is what gives us what we live with. We can live with the consequences of disobedience, or we can live with the blessings of obedience. We have a choice. Like, he doesn't dump it on you. He gives me and you a choice. So, again, obedience is not mere compliance. Like, it's not about following the rules. It's not about, okay, God, you asked me to pray, then I have prayed, so I've obeyed. It's not about compliance. It's not about just following the rules. It's relationship. He doesn't just want you to do it because he has commanded you to do it. He wants you to do it while you understand your position in him. He wants you to know that he is not forcing this on you to punish you. He is doing this because he loves you, because you are the child of God. You are a son of the promise. You are the chosen generation. You are his people that he has set apart to enjoy and to be a partaker of everything beautiful. The Bible says, for every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. So he has given us this beauty, this perfection, and he wants us to be partakers in it, but he cannot force it on us. So he gives us a choice to obey, a choice to hear him, and a choice to align to his will. So this morning, I'll just zoom through some few points on the components of obedience. What is this? What does this obedience look like? What is it? And I know, we've used it, we've said it, we know. So number one, I want to allude that obedience to God is continuous. It is dynamic. It is a continuous thing that we do every waking day. So every morning you wake up, every day remember this, that it is an opportunity for you to make your Father in heaven proud. It is an opportunity to please your Father in heaven, the one who has breathed his breath in you and who has woken you up in the morning. So obedience to God is continuous as long as you live, as long as you wake up every day. This obedience is required of us every day. It is not a one-time subscription. It's something you have to do daily. Daily. You daily take up your cross and follow him. You daily die to self. We have to do it daily. We have to talk to our Father daily in prayer. We have to read our Bibles daily. When I was growing up, and I still enjoy teaching the kids class. We say, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Yeah, if you want to grow, we have to read the Bible. Pray every day. It's not a one-time subscription. What Pastor Aaron preaches here on Sunday is not enough to fuel you through the week. It's something you have to go back for daily. And that makes it shifts it from compliance to relationship. Because, again, someone that you love, you have to, you know, have to have these conversations daily. You have to talk to someone that you love. You have to commune with someone that you love. And it is a continuous thing. You know, obedience is also a mark of sonship. But before I go to that, I'm reminded that today's, the reason why it's a continuous thing, the reason why it's a dynamic thing, you don't want to miss it, is because God is always speaking. God is speaking to us daily. So imagine this, Abraham. God speaks to Abraham and he tells him, go to a land that I will show you. So for Abraham to know where he's going, he has to keep going back to God because he does not have any GPS. He does not have the hotel room that he will spend the night. He does not know exactly where he's going. So that keeps him dependent on God. And so Abraham gets out and he starts his journey and he goes and, you know, God is continuously speaking over his life. But one interesting thing about obedience is you don't want to miss what he's saying today. So think about this. God promises Abraham a child of the promise, you know, who he will use to multiply, you know, his descendants. And God, you know, there's a gap, there's a delay in between, and they think, well, maybe he didn't mean it this way, so we gotta have a plan B, and they get their plan B, but God still has the plan A in place. He doesn't do plan Bs, he still has the plan A. And so this happens, and they have this son of the promise, and God places a demand on the faith. And he says, well, you remember the son that I promised you? The one that I told you I will name all the descendants after? That one. I need you to sacrifice him. So most of the times, we write God off. Because he said this yesterday, but today he's saying something else. Yesterday he said he will give me a son, and today he's asking me to sacrifice the same son that I have waited for, that I have prayed for, and that I have thanked him for giving me. So the fact that Abraham obeyed and left his land did not excuse him from obeying God and giving up his son. And you know the beauty of this? Everything that we surrender to God, it comes back to us. And it doesn't come broken. It comes to us whole. Whole and complete. And also, it comes with a reward because we have shown him that we love him and that we obey him and that there is nothing that is bigger to us than obeying him. The other thing is, obedience is a mark of sonship, you know. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord bears witness that we are the children of God, we are the sons of God, and that we can cry out, Abba, Father. So when we obey God, it really gives us the sonship spirit. It helps us walk in the authority of a son, in the dominion of a son, so that we no longer have to live like servants tiptoeing in the kingdom. He's giving us an inheritance. He's giving us the power that comes with it. He's giving us the dominion that comes with the sonship. The Bible says that a servant is not worthy the inheritance, but sons. Sons are worthy of inheritance. And do you know what sons do? Do you know what daughters do? They do their best to make their father proud. They do their best. Or at least they are supposed to. Sometimes they don't. We don't. Sometimes we don't. But we are supposed to make our father proud. You know, the Bible says the Lord knows those who are his. Deuteronomy 28, verse 9 says, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself. But it is tied to obedience. Like when we obey God, all these things, all these blessings comes upon us and they overtake us when we obey him. When we listen to him and when we align our will to his will. Obedience requires daily death to self. I think I have mentioned that we take up the cross daily and follow him. That the obedience will need to cost you something. Obedience will cost you your pride. Obedience will cost you some relationships. Obedience will cost you some friendships. Obedience will cost you something. Obedience is expensive. But for those who know, most expensive things are so valuable. They say in my country, cheap is expensive. Right? So Jesus paid the ultimate price for us, the death on the cross. But all in return, he's asking us for us to benefit from what he did. He's asking us to obey him, to obey him daily, to listen to him daily and follow in the provisions that he has already made for us. But that will cost us something. It will cost us something. The Bible says to not be conformed to the systems of this world, but be ye transformed inwardly by the renewal of your thoughts. So you know what? Something has to die for Jesus Christ to live in us. We have to let go of some things, some beliefs. We have to let go and let God abound in our hearts. We cannot have both. We have to be willing to let go. So it has to cost us something. Another component of obedience is that it bridges the gap between knowing and actually doing. You know we are supposed to do 1, 2, 3 things, but it's one thing to know, but it's another thing to do. So what obedience does is that it bridges that gap. You see, every day we do the Lord's Prayer and we pray, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But you know what it takes for His will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven? It takes your obedience to Him. He has already set the systems, but we have to obey and make it happen here on earth as it is in heaven. It is a partnership. And when one partner is not complying, then there is a breakdown of things. Things don't work as they are supposed to work because it's supposed to be a partnership. We partner with God, partner with the Holy Spirit to make His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And as I'm saying this, I am reminded Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I alone knows the plans that I have for you." Like each and every one of us, we're not just a statistic. He knew exactly where we would be born, by whom, to whom. He determined the exact places that we would live for His purposes. And for those purposes to be accomplished, then we have to go back to Him and ask Him, which way, what did you want me to do, Lord? And comply, align our will to His, so that His will of our lives, His will of our families, His will of our nation, His will over the church will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But you know what? We leave that to faith. We say, God, we hope and we pray that you will do something. And God is looking down at us and He's like, well, go do something. Because He says, go unto all the world and preach the good news. He says, go. I think when I look through the scriptures, every miracle that Jesus performed was kind of built on a partnership kind of a deal. Rise up and walk. He didn't just put this magic stick, then you rise up. There was some work for the person that is being healed to do. Someone is being told, go and wash. You know, he's healing the blind man, but he is telling him, go and wash. So there's the going bit. There's the going bit, and that is where obedience comes in. We have to know that obedience is what bridges the gap between knowing what he is saying and actually doing what he is saying. Obedience calls for sacrifice and separation. I've told you this. If Baal is God, worship him. If God is God, then worship him. There has to be separation. You cannot conform and be transformed in the same sentence. You cannot be conformed to the systems of this world and be renewed in the same sentence. Like there has to be, you have to give up one to receive the other. Obedience is anchored on trust in the Lord. It is not anchored in the feelings. It is not about what feels right or what people think is right. It is anchored in the true word of God, what He says that we do, what he wills for us. It is anchored in us trusting in the Lord. Obedience is also a portal of divine access. For us to get the divine access, for us to get the things that we need in the Spirit, we have to obey Him, because it is setting a footing, it is setting a ground for Him to get the things that He has already promised to us. So it is a portal of divine access. If you continue reading in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, all these blessings shall follow you and overtake you. So the access of everything that we seek is in obeying the Lord. And there could be a young person asking, then how will I know the will of God? How will I know what the Lord wills for me? It is in the scripture. The only way to know the will of God and to follow the Lord is to get back to the word. This is the direction. This is the GPS that he has given us, so that we can know where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do and what he expects of us, because God will never contradict himself. What he says is true, and what he says is sure, and his word will never change. You know, the systems of the world change with times. Generations upon generations, there are trends that change with time. But there is one that doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And no matter how much the governments change, no matter how much the systems change, his word remains. And we just need to be true to his word. We just need to obey. And it shall be well with us. It shall be well with our children. It shall be well with every other thing that we seek to do. And you know, I'll just leave you with this exhortation. If I didn't have any other day to live except today, if there was any inheritance I would leave for my three boys, if there is anything I would leave for the church of Christ, is one thing: obey the Lord and don't turn to the right or to the left, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Every other thing is passing away. Every other thing is vanity. It may be trending today, but where is it leading you? The Bible says there is a way that looks right before man, but the end of it is destruction. What the Lord seeks for us is that we may seek to know his will, is that we obey him and we have eternity in mind. Because I hate to break this news to you, but this world is not our home. This world is not our home. We're just passing by, and it would be very wrong to put some permanent residence where you're just a traveler. So we need to have eternity in mind when we are raising these beautiful young children, and when we are setting up our businesses and we are going about our jobs. Let us remember that he is the firm foundation upon which every other thing should be built upon. Every other thing is passing. Every other thing, all other ground, is sinking sand. So what is left of us? What is left of us is to hear him, obey him, trust him, and follow in his steps. Find a time to daily seek the Lord with your family. There's too much noise in the world. They are hearing too much. And only one thing, you see, the Bible says, Mother, Mother, you're worried about so many things, but only one thing is required. And I would say this, that we are worried about so many things, but one thing is required of us: to obey the Lord and to keep his commandments. Let me pray for us real quick. Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through the blood of Jesus we belong. We have been made sons. We were once not a people, but now we are your people. Lord, I pray that you will help us to obey you, to love you, to trust you, even when it is difficult, even when it is inconvenient, even when it doesn't make sense. Lord, I pray for the grace to just love you, obey you and follow you, because this is the promise that you made, that those who obey you and those who follow you, you will come in them and make a dwelling in their hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will make a dwelling in our hearts, in our families, in our institutions, in our schools, and in this wonderful nation and in the world at large. In Jesus' mighty name do we pray and give God all the glory. And the church said, amen.